right. Check yours for me.
Checking.
All right, works out. Harper Grace, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. We just got done listening to you sing some amazing music. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. That's and, kind.
Yeah, you're on your radio tour. That's what brings you in today. You're originally from McKinney, Texas. We're talking a little bit. I'm from Goliad, which is as far north as you are. I'm south towards the border.
Never been there.
We're about an hour and a half from Corpus Christi.
Oh, yeah.
About 6 hours from McAllen. But it's kind of we're 2 hours south of San Antonio. It's the battle after the Alamo. So if you took Texas history, it always said, remember Goliad. So
wonderful. Noted.
Yeah, I just share that with you as two Texans in the room. Because, you know, funny enough, you know, you come to Houston and it's country radio station. And then I always feel a little bit of pride that I'm the Texan, if you will. Right.
Now we're both.
Yeah, now we're both Texas. We got two of us in the room. So, you know, your song, Daddy Says No, had me in stitches on my drive to work this morning. Because I have a woman that I'm going to ask her dad this summer, you know, for her hand. And, I was like, wow. I was like, I didn't expect it to hit me like that. And the tears started streaming. And I was thinking about, like, what I would say to him and how I would say it. And I never really had been able to articulate the words, but I kind of came up with the words while I was listening to your song.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I went to your profile and then I got really confused on Instagram. So was it a fake engagement? It's a real engagement? It's not a real engagement? Tell me what's going on.
It was a fake engagement. Thank you for sharing that with me. It's really, really special and amazing that, you know, you're prepping and getting to do that. That's awesome. I wrote this song in the middle of the tension of the relationship that I was in at the time. And I've always grown up really, really close with my dad. And as a little girl, I've dreamt of being married, and that, you know, question being asked to my dad is something that I have really, really hoped for in a relationship. And I wasn't in the best relationship. And so the tension that I was feeling was a lot of the what ifs and where am I going to go from here? And to be honest, the relationship that I was in actually had bought a ring and did ask my dad for my hand in a not so respectful way. And my dad did say no. So it is a very true thing that happened. But in order to project this hardship that I walked through and to tell the story in the most vivid way possible to invite fans into what that was like for me, I wanted to do it so like picturesque and tell it in the manner of what could have happened. I think that nowadays, when we see social media, we think that everything's just great and amazing and awesome. But even behind a lot of the pictures that we see, there's a lot of hidden truth that you don't actually know. And so some of that in portraying the fake engagement was, I probably would have posted if I got engaged in real life. I would have, you know, played the part, been all happy, but I also would have removed the photos, called off the engagement. All of those things would have been so true and so real to me. So just like how an actor method acts when they get a part, right, that's kind of what I wanted to do with this song because it was so personal.
And so at that time you were going through it, the fan base wasn't quite what it is now, if I'm understanding it right too. So you wanted to be able to give your fan base this experience that you had, but you had the luxury of getting to kind of do it in hindsight. Mm-hmm. And so so then you roll it out this way. That's kind of where my first thought was. And the second was, if the dad says no, does the guy still get to marry her? Like, I thought that was the disqualifier.
I feel like in some cases, so to really the point of the fans too, I had been playing this song after I wrote it for probably, I think, a year and a half. And when I first wrote it, I joked around about the meaning of it because I was a little bit embarrassed of the fact that I almost got engaged or that the relationship wasn't as good as I wanted it to be or that I was the kind of person that painted all the red flags pretty in pink and just walked right past them. And so I was definitely lying to myself continuously while being in this relationship, but I was too ashamed and embarrassed to admit that. So when I sang it and I introduced it, I would kind of joke around and say, you know, my biggest fears, which are, you know, sneezing while driving and using the bathroom on the airplane and falling in love and your dad saying no. And then I just, you know, slide on past and start singing the song. And it wasn't until I had a line of people waiting at the merch table where one after the other, it was either coming from the woman's perspective of, you know, her dad said no and she's still married and it's really hard and they're about to get a divorce. And, or there's another story coming from the dad's perspective of he can't wait for whenever his daughter does get married and that guy does come and ask him for her hand in marriage, or coming from the perspective of people who don't even have fathers at all. So I was realizing that this song related to so many people in so many different ways and kind of gave me this permission slip to tell my truth of the actual situation. So I don't know if dad, if I mean, my dad did say no and the relationship ended, but there's so many stories where the dad says no, they still get married, and then the dad comes around later on, or he doesn't, and the relationship falls apart. But there's so many perspectives of the dynamics between families and what actually happens in a situation like that.
Well, you know, and I so funny, I'd mentioned, you know, the seriousness of my relationship and how I feel for my girlfriend to someone in passing, and they told their mom, and their mom is told Bruce, my boss, and then Bruce like, is this really going this fast, right? And I said, you know, I've been wrong my whole life, so it feels so different. It's got to be what right is, right? like, you know, it and so like, I think everyone craves to get, but I never would have got to that place had I not gone through the things you're talking about, like right, like facing the things in your life that you kind of joke about or that you cover up, and you're like, well, I've been covering this up for a little while and just dealing with it, you know. But no, that's no way to actually live, so you know. True. And you know, and so then that also the thing you mentioned about social media. There's a show on Netflix called The Night Agent. Gabriel Basso is the lead actor.
My parents just started that. They told me I needed to watch it.
So he came in. I got to interview him. He was on the podcast, and I had watched him on Fallon the week prior, and he talked about how he had deleted his Instagram, and he kind of gave this half-baked thought as to why. And it was funny because the crowd didn't really react, and I was laughing, but no one else did. And I fell for him because he's like, he was the guy without social media, you know. And but so we expanded on it, and he talked about how the human brain fills in all the gaps. So like, you make this post, and then the people seeing it fill in all the gaps around it. There's all those are lies.
Right.
Those aren't real. Those are, it's not truth. And and so we have this, there's this relationship with social media that's so not real already. So to bring that all back to like how you kind of portrayed this fake engagement, if you will, you know, like that's, it's pretty brilliant because it's not real anyway. Like the you know what I mean? Like the whatever they attach to this scene isn't going to be, they'll never truly, if it had been real, they wouldn't have understood the depth of your love or the hurdles that you'd gone through or whatever. So I think that's pretty fascinating. I want to talk about Grandma on the accordion a little bit too, because you said that was sort of one of your first sort of influential people, or almost the only person in your family that did music. So tell me about her and the accordion.
Nana, she's so cute, out in Midland, Odessa. She had this navy blue pearl lined accordion that was in this huge case, and she'd pop it up in the middle of the living room and sit in this wooden archback chair and just play the heck out of it. And I just remember at such a young age falling in love with the sound. She also was the first person to teach me how to yodel growing up. She had a piano in her living room. And so that to me was my initial falling in love with country music, with sounds, with instruments, with music. She always had something on the record player spinning, and that was either Roy Orbison or Patsy Cline or Dolly Parton or Loretta Lynn, and you know, the list of all these great, you know, hard country that we love, and the organic aspects of it just stuck out so clearly to me in my ears. And so Nana has definitely sparked such a love for just true country and storytelling. She always told the greatest story. She still does. She's still here, praise the Lord. And she'll go on and on and on. And I always remember listening to Nana. It's always the most detailed story. She'll tell you things that you probably don't even need to know. But I just remembered being so drawn to whatever it is that she was telling, because it reminded me of a country song. And that's how, you know, I grew up with her. And then shortly after that, my dad also growing up listened to a lot of country. And so sitting in his passenger seat of his truck, you know, we'd be listening to Red Dirt Country. And so that for me has been my falling in love with storytelling.
Was her, because you certainly have some of those traits of the storytelling, just like in the way you described the accordion, the guitar, or the chair she sat in and stuff, you know, it comes through in the way you described her. When I think of the accordion, so for me in South Texas, it was always associated with Tejano music, right? It was like the Spanish, right? Like, you know, and so like, did she have the ability to play like slow songs and fast songs on the accordion?
She played both. She played everything. The one that we really, really gravitated towards since I was younger was the Tennessee Waltz, which at some point this year I'm actually releasing my version of it. And my Nana's voice is featured at the end of the song, which is a really sweet moment. And we pulled the original track Mike Curb had, within the studio of one of the, like, the original music of it is also filtered into the ending of the song, which is really great. But yeah, she played everything. She'd make up songs. She'd just kind of do anything to get my attention. And I was very drawn into really anything she wanted to do.
You know, you mentioned those sounds, you know, those country sounds. And I always talk about that. There's something about, like, Texas that for, like, I imagine your family's lived in Texas a long time, longer, yeah. You know, and so there's something about, there's certain sounds that resonate with us because we were raised on them, and it's like a texture to the music, yeah. And you know, and I had told you how much I love the waltz, you know, and you 3/4 time and how hard it is, and then you're like, oh, I have a bunch of them. Well, that would speak to that same language, yeah. That spirit, if you will, that comes from Texas, you know, and we had an artist in just a little bit ago, Taylor Austin Dye, and then she was who I was talking to about the waltz. I was like, well, if you ever make a 3/4 time, let me know. And she's like, oh, that's so hard. Then we went into like the complexity of, you know, songwriting to a 3/4 time and then playing it. And then you come in, you're like, oh, I got a bunch. I was like, oh, look at this. This is perfect. You know, because I play in a dance hall, or DJ in a dance hall 3 nights a week. And the waltz is part of the routine.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of waltzes, but most of them are too fast to dance to. But the one you played for us, tell me the name of it again.
Tattoos and Heartaches.
Oh, yeah, Tattoos and Heartaches. Like, that was like the perfect rhythm for a waltz, you know? And like, I See It Now, Stars Over Texas, Tracy Lawrence, Alibis, you know, Rose-Colored Glasses from John Connolly. Like, those are like that classical rhythm, if you will. And so I love that comes through in your music. And I love that you're doing it out of Nashville too, because I think that Nashville's more receptive right now to the flavor of Texas than ever. Yeah. They know how to, they kind of understand a little better, so they're able to amplify the voice and the sound in a different way.
Yeah.
Do you feel that wonderful. Way when you go there?
Like, honestly, yeah. I think that I'm growing up listening to such organic instruments alone by themselves and appreciating them for what they are, and it coming together in a beautiful melodic, you know, song structure. That's kind of where country started. And I think growing up listening to Nana, like, that's definitely, like you said, having that as a young child, the thing you gravitate towards. I'm a weirdo when it comes to sounds and noises.
I always say that I'm synesthesia, where I sense color when I hear sound. Like when I'm DJing, I'm not actually playing music, I'm painting a picture. Wow. I'm actually curating a frequency, if you will, and it's a circular dance floor too. So I feel like that adds to it's like a catalyst for what's happening. It's called Rowdy's Dance Hall in Spring.
Okay,
called Big Texas.
Okay, I grew up dancing at Cowboys Red River.
Oh yeah,
so that was also a circle dance floor.
Yeah, and so there's like this, and then I would wonder what makes me pick this next song, and so I was like digging into my brain. I'm like, what is it? Like, why does that one feel so good and this one doesn't, you know? And then I found that I was like subconsciously almost matching the key. So like the next song would be like one octave, I don't know if that's the right term, lower, and then it was also a half step lower. So like I'm walking them down this like melodic pathway, if you will, down to the bottom to the slower songs and bring them back up and whatnot.
That's
and so
amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm a music nerd too. So just to your point about Sonic. So let's talk about touring real quick. I know you probably love being on stage. What's the plan for 2026? You got any appearances coming out?
Yeah, I've got a tailgate with Luke Combs, which is really exciting. And
what city is that going to be in?
That's going to be in Green Bay.
We're actually sending listeners up for that show because Ty Myers is on the front end of that show too.
Oh, heck
and
yeah.
So you're going to be playing the stage to get everybody ready for the show.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Just prepping them. So that'll be fun. I'm excited about that. We got some festivals this summer as well. And just some other ones that we haven't announced quite yet.
Have you made a chance to get to Billy Bob's yet?
I played Billy Bob's 2 years ago. And then also with Nelly when Nelly was doing a little bit of country music tour. I was actually on tour with Nelly for a little bit of country music tour. It was the wildest and coolest experience, I think, of my life. But yeah, that was the first time I ever played Billy Bob's was with Nelly.
Did you get to like talk to Nelly and get to meet him?
Yeah. We have matching leather jackets.
Wow.
He bought me a really cool leather jacket when I was out on the road with him. I had this little dog named Rascal Flats. and my dog now is George Strait, and I also have a Dolly Parton and a Buck Owens, but that's beside the point. Rascal Flats was on the Nelly tour with me, and he's this tiny little Chihuahua terrier rescue. And I wouldn't know where he was half the time because he'd be like, you know, somewhere in Nelly's dressing room or in his cousin's dressing room or just all sporadic. But there's a picture of Nelly holding Rascal and we're wearing our matching leather jackets somewhere in my phone. But yeah, that was a wonderful time. He's very sweet.
Man, that's amazing. Well, and I know you're on a blessed path. You shared a little bit of that story earlier, sort of the godsend and the way that you're kind of just, you felt called and everything's just kind of falling in for you. So may you continue to be blessed. It's amazing. It's been incredible catching up with you and getting to know you today.
Thank you.
Wonderful music, and I appreciate your time. Harper Grace,
I appreciate
everybody.
You. You're awesome. And thank good you. Luck asking her dad.
All right. Thank you. All right.